How many of you consider yourself a fellow distracted type person? Any fellow distracted type people that just any time someone comes by or a fly going around, you just gotta be right on it and lose your focus on what is going on? Some of you are probably pretty well focused in what you do. I know there's certain things that I'm focused on, other things I'm totally distracted in, but if I'm watching a television program, I can have people talk to me and I wouldn't even know it. I could be reading a book and not know what's going on, just that focus that is there. But in most cases, if I'm sitting trying to listen like you folks are trying to listen to me, that fly that's in here would distract me. Do you know where that fly is? Anybody know where that fly is? It's around here. Before you know it, it will distract you and keep you from listening. Well, this morning, what we're wanting to do is look at persistence in the building of Nehemiah. Nehemiah had been greatly involved with putting together the wall around Jerusalem when he first heard about that great responsibility that lay before him and the destruction that was on the walls of his dear people. He prayed, developed his passion, developed his plan, got people involved, dealt with the persecution, dealt with the inner turmoil amongst the people. And he was right to the end, and all was left was to put the gates on the wall. Everything was done. But in the midst of that time, he came across some things that could have distracted him and kept him from being involved. You know, there's some great people that have started some great works but have been distracted during their time. You can look through the Bible and find a variety of different individuals who were great people, but yet got distracted along the way. I think of just the first four kings of the Bible. I think of King Saul and how he started out so well as that humble young man that hid himself when they wanted to put the crown on him, and he was hiding amongst the luggage because he didn't want to get all that attention. But once he became king for a while, and instead of looking at what was there before the glory of God, he got distracted. Even King David, the one who was just a man after God's own heart, one who would sit out in the field and sing songs to God and just be so focused on Him. When he got a little older and his kingdom was on the rooftop, looking out, and got distracted by a young woman by the name of Bathsheba. Changed his life all around from that distraction. David had a son by the name of Solomon who became king. What happened to Solomon? The one who was so focused to ask of God when God gave him the opportunity to ask of one thing. What would it be? Would it be riches? Would it be power? Ask for wisdom. He says, because I'm just a young man, I don't know what to do. And before long, Solomon got distracted. Distracted by the many horses, by the amount of money, by the women. All the various things distracted him. And then his son, Rehoboam, growing up in, again, the king's palace. Don't know much about how focused he was prior to, but his friends distracted him from becoming a king of the entire kingdom. Instead, 10/12 of it were ripped out of his control because he was distracted by other individuals. But Nehemiah deals with the four different elements of distraction, of which I've seen in each of those four kings that I've already discussed. And sadly, I have to admit, I've seen them in my own life too, that where these little distractors have come in and kept me from being focused on what God has called me to do. Well, let's look at those distractions that might keep us from being dedicated towards God's principles and His plan. Some distractions that might keep me from God's work or the work that He's caused me to do. One might be forgotten the purposes. Forgetting what God's purpose in the whole ordeal was. What my purpose is in life. Sometimes it's fascinating, please. Other people's ideas of what we can be doing. Where the grass gets greener on the other side, or the itchy palms. Got to do something different. I've been working on this wall so long. Got to keep going on something else. The faceless prosecutors. Those individuals that have an attitude and have some ideas about what we should be doing, but they don't have that relationship with us. That they're just that opinion poll out there that says, you ought to be doing something else. Or I think you've done this. And finally, the false prophets. Those who come in with those distractive, lying words to keep us from doing what God has called us to do. Let's look at these four items in light of our Nehemiah, the wall builder. The builder who built the wall around Jerusalem. Let's first of all look at the distraction of forgotten purposes. If you have your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah chapter 5. We'll look at just a couple verses out of Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah, again, as I said, has been describing how he built the wall, how that the wall was in rambles and shambles before he came along and worked on it. All the different distractions he had prior to this, but now, once the wall is almost done, he's at that point where some other distractions could very well come in. The distraction of forgotten purposes. You see, Nehemiah was exalted to a particular position there in building the wall. He wasn't just a labor contractor. He wasn't just a guy with a plan. He was an individual who was given a position as governor over the people of Jerusalem. So he had a position in which he not only had the responsibility of building the wall, but also of governing the people. And along with that, in the past, had become a lot of perks with being the governor. Being in that political service, there were things that were to be provided for them. And in the past, individuals had taken advantage of that. Look with me at chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, where it says this. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year until the 32nd years of King Artaxerxes, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the governor's provisions. But the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. Yes, even their servants bore rule over the people, but I did not do so because of the fear of God. You see, Nehemiah could have easily been distracted by the fact that he was given this great, prominent place and started thinking, I have been working on this wall. I have gone from a situation where I was the king's cupbearer, and I was in a pretty prominent situation. Now I've gone over here to Jerusalem, and I'm working on this wall, and I'm out there with a sword in one hand and tool in the other, and working and leading these people. And it would be very easy to say, I deserve a break. I deserve to be a governor here. I deserve to sit and get all the lavish that a governor gets. I deserve all these various things. And it's very easy for him to be distracted from what God had called him to get to the point where he says, you know, the other governors did this. The other leaders did this. Why can't I do that? And start coming to the point where he thought that the position was for himself. But Nehemiah recognized it wasn't for himself. And so when he came into this time where God had taken him from one place and put him in this other and exalted him in the level in Jerusalem, he didn't look at it and say, wow, this is a chance for me to really shine. This is a chance for me to really get what's due coming me. Nehemiah didn't look at it that way. He looked at his opportunity there not for himself. He didn't look at what the others had done and say, wow, here's promotion time. Here's the time for the perks. And get distracted by that. How often that happens to us. We get our ideals of what needs to be done in regard to the church ministry. Sometimes we think, boy, I'd like to be a blank. I'd like to be in that kind of position. I would really like to, if I were in that position to do that, boy, I could really do some great things for God. Undoubtedly, there's individuals who have gotten into that position, but I have to share, not in relationship to the dear people I work with right now, but from listening to different church conflicts and things along that line, there have been individuals who undoubtedly at the time when God worked to bring them up to leadership role in the church, possibly had a great desire to serve God and wanted to have the focus on Him, but somewhere along the line, their agenda distracted them. And the thought of, I'm in such and such position means I've got such and such power, and I should get such and such done, and I should have such and such privileges, and I should have people think this of me, and that of me, and I should have this or that. And how often great things that start out and people who have a great God end up becoming distracted because they put the focus on their position and looking at it for something that was designed for themselves and forget that it wasn't at all, it was for God. Because look at verses 16 and then also again verse 19. Nehemiah's attitude wasn't that now that I'm governor, I've got all these people that can serve me. Now that I finally worked my way up the ladder, I've got these individuals that can look after me. He says in verse 16, he says, indeed, I also continued the work on this wall, and we did not buy any land. All my servants were gathered there for the work. He just continued on working. He realized that even though he was given a position of great responsibility and leadership, he was right there along with the rest of them, working away. Verse 19, he says this, remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. His attitude, he didn't want to be distracted from what God has called him to. God had called him to leave his lavish kingdom as the cupbearer, to go over to Jerusalem that was totally in destruction and build the walls, not so that he get a name for himself, not so he could get great things, but so that God's people would be protected and God's name would be glorified and lifted up. And he did not shirk from that responsibility. He did not get distracted, for instead it says he had a position recognized for service. Now he could serve God more. As we look at the opportunities that God opens up, and when we put together our philosophy of ministry, and by the way, if you've not seen our philosophy of ministry, it's out on the table out there. You can pick it up on two sides of one sheet of paper. And one of the key things that emphasized in there is, what is the role of leaders? The role of leaders are to be disciples and disciple makers and servants. Not to be individuals, to be lifted up and given great perks and that kind of privileges and things along that line. No, the positions that we have are for service. A greater opportunity to be used of God, to impact the lives of people. He says, remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. That he had been there for them, not the other way around. That's how we can get distracted, is by looking at the fact that we have gotten here so that others can look up to us and provide for us. May it not be said of us that we have fallen into that trap. I shared earlier that each of these things are things that I have fallen with, and I don't want to share in detail, but there have been times in my past where I'd gone from one situation to another, where I'd happen to be in a ministry that was not a church ministry, but it was a ministry that was a what they call parachurch ministry, and within there was a hierarchy where you moved yourself up the ladder. And I can remember the temptation of thinking, oh, the bigger office, the greater title, the more people underneath me kind of ideas that permeated the whole attitudes there of recognizing and finally saying, I can't do this. This is not what God called me to. And realizing that I was called to serve and to use my position for service. Second distraction that could get into our life that we find that Nehemiah comes up is right in the next chapter, chapter 6. Says here in verses 1 through 3, now it happened when Sanballat and Tobiah, now for those of you that have individuals that just seem to be getting on your nerves and seem to be ones that try to keep you from accomplishing things for God, you can call them these pet names of Sanballat and Tobiah. I do that on occasion. Not been any of you. No. But just in general speaking, you know, the Sanballats and Tobiahs of our lives. But Sanballat and Tobiah, they had been a thorn in the side of these guys for Nehemiah and all his people from the get-go. From the very beginning, they were just there to make life miserable for them. And now Nehemiah is at the point where he's got the wall built. Who do you want to see when you got everything all done? You want to see your critics, don't you? You want to have a chance to show them, I did it. You didn't think I could. Let's get a meeting together. Let's talk about how God's blessed. Well, this opportunity came up. Now it happened when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the door and the gates. So honest, Nehemiah. He didn't have to put that in there. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. I should have given him a hint. Oh, no. But they thought to do me harm. Now, as I kind of alluded to, Nehemiah's ego could have gotten in here and thought, oh, they want a private meeting, eh? I'd be glad to sit down and talk to them about all the things we got done despite them. I'd be glad to get out of this place that's been sitting here all this time putting together this wall. I'd be glad to meet with them and talk with them and share with them and put it in their face and all that type of stuff. But he knew that that was a vulnerable area, and he knew that there was a problem. And he said, but they thought to do me harm. At least that's what he thought. He couldn't prove it, but he knew him well enough. See, so I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Well, I leave it and go down to you. Second one's a distraction of fascinating pleas. I tell you, it would be fascinating. If not for that reason, just to get a chance to get together with Sanballat and Tobiah after a victory would just be, I don't know, it would be kind of attractive. And I could see that being kind of symbolic of the other attractive things that are out there to us. We've been doing the work, and we've been trying to keep with it, and all of a sudden that little attractive thing out there of saying, oh, why don't you come down from that? Nehemiah, come off the wall, and let's just talk. And Nehemiah's response was, why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? I'm doing a great work. I'm doing a great thing. Why should I stop? Have we ever stopped in the middle of a good thing because something else distracted us? Someone just said, hey, why don't you do this instead of that? I don't know about you. I'm kind of that way. I get into some things and I think, boy, I've been doing this. Wow, 45 minutes now. I really should do something different. I don't know if your attention span is about that short, but 45 minutes I can get good in, then I got to do something else. But it would be very easy after what Nehemiah is doing here. And they said, well, come on down, get away from those guys. Let's meet, let's talk, and just be distracted from what I'm doing. But Nehemiah said, why should I leave this great work? Nehemiah was consistent with the responsibilities God has given to him. God never gave him the responsibility to go talk with Sanballat and Tobiah. God never told him, go straighten those guys out. There's another temptation might have been there. What a great witnessing opportunity to go over to Sanballat and Tobiah. What a great opportunity to show them the glory of God. Not out of spite, out of very good purposes to go and show them the glory of God and to get to... But God never called them to do that in that particular shape. He said, build the wall. Accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Don't go on another agenda. And just the importance of him recognizing, being consistent with the responsibility and sticking with it. He could have said, well, everything's done except for the gates. Hey, somebody else can hang the gates. I'm going on. I've got to do something different. He said, I'm sticking with this. Why should I go on? I think it's very important for us to take into consideration because there are times when it is time to go on and do something different. If that were not so, I would not be here. So I understand that. But there are some times I know that I've been distracted from a good work and not continued it because of some of the pleas of other individuals. You know, Sanballat and Tobiah, they didn't just say it once. And then when Nehemiah said, nah, I'm doing this work, he says, look, but they sent me this messenger four times. And I answered them the same manner. He was not only consistent with his responsibility, he was consistent with his response. How good of resistance do you have? How many times can you say no? When we were in sales, I don't know if any of you have had to do telemarketing sales, but I have. In telemarketing sales, they told us, you don't accept the first no. Right? The first no only means they want to hear another request. That's all it means. So you ask them again another way. And the second no just means you haven't quite explained it right. And you go on to the third no, and the fourth, and you keep on going through. And that's why you have some of these pesky people. And you know why they keep on doing that? Because there's some people that once they continually get bombarded with the please, they'll give in. They will. They will. That constant little pecking at it. Would you just kind of... Do you think the young man or young woman who tries drugs jumped at it the very first time they were offered it? Probably not. He probably offered it and said, no. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Do you think we end up in some of the problems and distractions because of just the first time we were offered it? No. I think many times we stand strong on that first offer. No. And then the second time, it gets a little bit harder. And the third time, it gets a little bit harder. And the fourth time, Nehemiah is saying, okay, 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 if I'm that popular and you got to talk with me, I'll come on down off the wall for just a little while and we'll talk. Never got to that. He had the same answer each time. Why? Why? Because it wasn't based upon Sanballat and Tobiah. They didn't dictate what it was. It wasn't the fact that Sanballat and Tobiah had to work their sales scheme a little better. The point was, the purpose was there. The purpose was, do what God has called me to do. It shouldn't matter what the other individuals are saying or what the individuals are doing. See, sometimes we get our focus off God and we start looking at others to be the ones to dictate what we should be doing instead of being convinced of what God wants to do. Nehemiah was convinced he was to build the wall. Sanballat and Tobiah might have been very convincing in the way that they were approaching him and very persistent. Four different times coming with the same type thing, they knew maybe eventually he'd wear down. But you see, Nehemiah didn't fall into the same trap we do at times. The trap of thinking, okay, well, I'll listen to what they have to say, and I'll use my great logic, and I'll use my great ability to comprehend, and I will think this through. There's really no thinking through. Can I put this in another perspective? When people come to you purporting another gospel, knocking on your door, hey, I want to tell you about how that you can get closer to God in some other way other than living as a believer and living through this book. You have the same answer. You don't sit and listen to their first plea, their second plea, their third plea, their fourth plea. If your first answer is, I'm a child of Jesus Christ and I live by His Word, I don't need what you have to offer. Thank you. You can have the same thing I have. It's for by grace you're saved through faith, not of works. Sorry. If you have that same answer over and again, the people eventually go, well, I'm talking to a recording. But if we keep on trying to match wits with that other individual, and get sucked in. Learn to recognize that we should be consistent with our responsibility and be consistent with our response. Response is to what the truth of the Word of God is. If it's God's Word, we don't have to alter it. We don't have to change it. It's the same. Sticks. Doesn't have to be altered. Third item of distraction we see coming up in the next few verses. Verse 5 says, Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, as it was written. Oh, now he's going to come and he's not going to just send a little note. He's got an open letter to be read before all. Dear Nehemiah, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. I can't get you to come because we just want to meet. I'll put you in a situation where I'll blackmail you. I'll put you in a situation where you have to come. It says, then I sent to him saying, no such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. Period. For they were trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. Nehemiah knew that it was his distraction. And there's such a temptation sometimes to defend, isn't there? Someone says, well, you're this and this and such and what or whatever. And we want to spend our time defending. When we were in this ministry I was telling you about, we'd sometimes get individuals that would send an anonymous phone calls. You know, just tell us how much they didn't like us. You know. And my boss says, well, we don't answer anonymous mail and we don't reply to anonymous phone calls. If there's individuals that we can know who they are and what they want, we can talk to them and get it worked out. And as I started looking at that in relationship to ministry, one of the things that usually frustrates me is when we are making decisions as churches and a comment comes up, well, we can't do that. Why? Well, some people will. The faceless people that control churches. We can't do that because some people might. And although it's a little more detailed as to what Nehemiah's accusations are, but Sanballat kind of throws in there also the you know, this is reported among the nations and Geshem, and there's rumors, and the people are thinking this about you and that and all these type of things, and therefore you need to straighten this out. You need to come and work it out. And I'm all in favor of working out issues. And I guess as far as clarification, I would definitely, if there was an individual made certain accusations about things, it's our responsibility to go clarify it. But in these faceless prosecutors, there's a reply to the accusation that Nehemiah gives. What you say is not true. There's no truth to it. Now, in the case where Nehemiah might have had to clarify it, he would have. But he knew who he was working with. And in our case, we have some responsibilities at times to clarify what our reply is to the accusation. But for the most part, then we leave it at that. That's what Nehemiah did. He left it at that. And his next step, notice what he does in verse 9. And it says, for they were trying to make us afraid, saying their hand will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. I give the answer to the accusation, and then I ask of God, or request from Him, just more aid. God, help me. Help me to continue on with the plan that You have for me, that I might not be distracted, that I might not allow the rumors and the threats and all those type of things that are not true to get in the way and keep me from doing the work that You have provided for me. He goes on to face not only the faceless prosecutors, but also the false prophets. Verse 10, afterward I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabel, who was a secret informer. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had sent him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. The distraction of false prophets. Individuals who come into our life and they don't have the truth. They don't have the truth for us. I like what Nehemiah said in verse 11. He says, am I such a man that I should flee? Am I in a position I should flee? Have I followed God all this way that I should flee because of what You have to say? And he had this this attitude. He just didn't, you know, he didn't want to lose the situation. He refused to lose out to this fear that was trying to be generated into him. He refused it. He refused to allow this prophet of doom to come in and distract him from what he should be doing. Not only that, not only did he refuse to lose, but he recognized the lies. He recognized that this wasn't truth. Now, how did he know that? Well, number one, he knew God had called him to this ministry of doing the wall. He had stood out there and had built the wall, as I mentioned, with weapon in one hand and tool in the other. He had stood up to Sanballat and Tobiah out in the time when they could have been picked off at any time. He was there believing in God and willing to stand up for God. Now that everything was done, this insider, apparently one that he trusted enough to get together alone to talk about this, and he said, "Won't you come into the temple?" Now, also, Nehemiah realized the temple wasn't the place for him. That temple was the place for the priests. And it wasn't his place to go in there. So he knew that the prophet was taking him to a place where he shouldn't go anyways. So he put the things together and he kept his focus not on his fear, not on the worry, oh, someone's trying to kill me. Someone's going to do something bad to me. This guy's got inside information. He didn't put his focus on that. He put his focus on what does the Bible say? What does God say? Now, how can we apply that to our life? I don't think we have hitmen out on us. But in a sense, we do have times when we're being distracted from doing what we know God says we should do. We know we are distracted by some things that other people are saying that isn't quite the truth. And we need to keep up focusing on what God's Word says. When individuals try to get us to get involved with activities that we know do not please God. The book of Proverbs is filled with encouragements to young men, young women, to be careful not to follow the direction of other individuals that are nothing but troublemakers. Because when you do that, you'll tend to fall into the trap and become like them. And the encouragement is to recognize where their lies are coming from. Now, if Adam and Eve had been able to do that as the children of God, when Satan the serpent came up and said, "Why don't you partake of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Surely you will not die." If they had just failed to listen to him and recognize, though, that those were lies, they wouldn't have been kicked out of the garden. They wouldn't have experienced that consequence of their decision. There are things that we've been through. There are things that we have had to experience in our life because we chose to accept a lie. We've chose to, instead of going by what God's Word says, chose to listen to someone that said, "Oh, just go ahead and do it. It won't hurt anybody. I know what God says, but..." And we get involved with things that we know are lies. Nehemiah could have done something in self-preservation and said, "Hey, I've been doing this work for a while. I've been faithful to it. Maybe this is an opportunity for me to get out of the way. I'll go hide and I'll get out of the line of fire." That would have been fine if that's what God wanted him to do. But God had not told him that's what he wanted to do. God wanted him to stick with the building of the wall and complete the task. And folks, sometimes we need to sit down and not get deterred by those who come with seemingly logical explanations, but yet explanations that are not from God, because they go contrary to His Word. What's distracting you? What's distracting me? Could it be looking for perks? Going through life where you're just thinking that, "Man, I want to be a somebody. I'm tired of being a nobody. And maybe this realm would be an area I can be a somebody. Maybe I can be someone and accomplish something and people will have nice things to say about me. And I'll get some perks for being a leader, being something." That can distract us from the real purpose God has called us to serving Him. Maybe we're distracted because we're bored. "Man, I've been doing the same thing all this time. And I've been keeping at it, and I've been faithful, and all these types of things, and here's a chance for me to just get away from it. To go down and talk with Sanballat and Tobiah and find out what they've got to say. Maybe they've got an offer for me. Maybe they've got something that will make my life a little bit different." Or maybe it's being misunderstood. None of us like to be misunderstood. Nobody likes to have people have an accusation. Nehemiah could have just been totally frustrated at the point where they're sending that word that the people of Jerusalem, the Jews, think that the Jews outside of Jerusalem are thinking that you're building this thing so you can become a king and all that type of stuff. And Nehemiah could have been, "That's not true. I'm offended. I can't believe people would think that about me. and get all worked up and have all the focus of energy to defend and such. Do we do that? Is that what's distracting me? Is I'm so concerned that people understand me and understand who I am and respect me and all that, that we fail to accomplish God's will and God's way? Or fourthly, am I just downright listening to the wrong people? Am I listening to people that are distracting me because they've got the wrong message? And that's happens. That was the downfall of Rehoboam. Listen to his peers, and the peers said, tax them more. And he taxed them more, and they left. What has God called you to do? What does God want you to do? Do you know what God wants you to do? Do you know the direction that He has for you? Do you know what He wants you to accomplish in your life? That's an imperative. That's what's important. You got to know what God wants you to do. If you don't know what God wants you to do, you don't know when you're distracted or when you're not distracted. But if you're confident that God wants you to walk step by step, following Him and growing in your Christian life and having an impact in other people's lives, and you can see what that is. And I'm not talking about these specific things where you can line up the dots and be able to know exactly what you're going to do for the next 10 years or things like that. But do you know the steps that God wants you to take in obedience to Him? Do you know when you're on the right path and when you're not on the right path? Do you know when you're focused or when you're distracted? The way to understand that is to get into the Word of God and understand what God's plan is for a biblical believer. What is a biblical believer? We put out in our material what a definition of a disciple is. That gives us an idea of progressing, what types of things need to be done in our life. When we start deviating from that, as individuals or as a church, we become distracted. So our first step is to find out what is God's plan so that we won't be distracted from it. What is the path so we can stay on it? Well, I can tell you this for sure. The first step you need to make is to place your faith in Jesus Christ. You need to be willing to understand that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Oh, there's a lot of others out there to tell you, try this, try that. Oh, you got to do this or you got to do that. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father God but by me. It is not by any works that we have done. All our works are as filthy rags, the Bible says. There is nothing we can do to make ourselves right before God. We can only accept the truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, paid the penalty of our sins, so that we can be right before God. Now that is the right path. It's a path that God wants everyone to take, to trust Jesus and to follow that truth. And then from there, you start a journey on this path of wanting to obey God. You cannot please Him through your works. You cannot please Him to where He will take away that sin penalty by your works. But once you become on the path after accepting Christ, you have the potential to please Him by serving Him not as someone who's been condemned as a sinner, but someone who has been adopted as a child. And we can please Him as a loving child to a loving, loving Father. That's the path. The other path, very clear, is one that leads to destruction, of faithlessness, of not placing your faith in Christ. It's a path that leads us away from God. It's a path that keeps us from enjoying the presence of God. So the path that I encourage you to choose, if you have not already, is the path of trusting Jesus as your personal Savior. Father, as I close our time in prayer, I pray that You'll be with each one who's here this morning. Lord, I know that there are many here that have placed their faith in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that many of them are on their way to becoming disciples as they desire to conform their life to the image of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're actively involved in accountability groups and they're actually involved in Bible studies and service and fellowship groups, and they just have a desire to continue on, and they're just wanting to keep on the path, and they know what I'm talking about today, about being distracted. They know what it's like to have their time of prayer distracted. They know what it's like to have their witnessing opportunities distracted. They know what it's like to have their Bible reading distracted, their Bible memorization distracted, their genuine fellowship with others distracted. They know what it's like to be distracted. And Father, there's some that have been so off the path that they don't know which is distraction. That they've been so committed to a path that might be going through some rough, going through some difficulties, going through some all sorts of things contrary to what your desire is. And they just don't recognize when they're distracted because they haven't recognized where the path is. And Father, I pray that You'll be with each one that is here, that we might, those of us who wrestle with distraction, will take up the encouragement of the example of Nehemiah and the endorsement of Your Word, and seek to get back focused on where we're going. And Father, I pray for those who have been actually focusing totally off on what your goal is, that they might make that decision today to change their focus, asking for Your help to change the priorities in their life and start developing in their lives new habits that please You and opportunities to follow Your direction. And I pray, God, that You might allow that to be a great blessing to them and a great relief to them as well. We thank You again for this opportunity of prayer, and I pray that You work in each individual's life. In Jesus' name, amen.